Lady Shir Chayvus Halvavus, Wednesday, Chaf Zion Adar, 18th March, the 10th Shir in Shara Vodos Halokim. Wednesday, 10th Shir in Shara Vodos Halokim, 27 Adar, 18th March. 10th Shir. Okay. The next time we'll be meeting, Be'ezrat Hashem, is the Wednesday after Pesach. I don't think it's a good idea to try to meet the Sunday after Pesach. So, we'll do it the Wednesday after Pesach, Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay, we're in Chavis HaLovas, Shara Avodas HaElokim, the third perek, and we are learning about Ha'orah Sichlis and Ha'orah Toronis. We're learning about that the definition of Avodas Elokim, no matter what category you're in, is the kniya, the being humbled, submissive, everything, feeling and understanding that everything we have is from Hashem, and therefore reciprocating with gratitude and acknowledgement of that fact. And therefore responding accordingly, as we learned up till now, the whole idea of Avodas Elokim is really based on a response to gratitude. But then there's two forms. There's the form when, you know, where I want to teach you gratitude. So I say thank you. Say thank you. And if you don't say thank you, I'm going to punish you. And if you say thank you, I'm going to reward you. So that's one way. That's Ha'orah Toronis. As the Chavis HaLovas calls it, the Torah gives us the ways that we're expressing our thanks. Do this, don't do this. The rules in the Torah, we all know them. Approximately 613, many more Derabbanans. And they are linked more to Schar Va'onesh. Do this and you get a reward. Don't do this, you get a reward. Do bad things, you get punishment. Gehenem, Gan Eden. It's not really on the surface of it, unless you really work hard, and that's what the person has to do, it's not really an inner expression of gratitude, which is coming from what's inside of you. No one's telling you what to do, right? What will you end up doing? Maybe you'll be lucky, and you'll end up being like Avraham Avinu, and you'll like, bingo, you'll get Kol HaTorah Kula from your own inspiration, because obviously Hashem didn't just pick and choose certain things arbitrarily. They make sense, the 613 mitzvahs. Maybe you would reach it on your own. But the point is, you have an inner compulsion to thank Hashem, and that's Ha'orah Sichlis, and it's coming from that. And the Chavis HaLovas says, the Chavis HaLovas says clearly, there are no two ways about it, maybe it makes some people uncomfortable. He says that's the goal. The goal is Ha'orah Sichlis. The goal is that you want to feel. You want to feel grateful to Hashem. You want to listen to His sivuyim and His azharos, His commands and His prohibitions. You want to do the mitzvahs because that's the way we acknowledge. Again, like someone saves your life and says, can you get me a glass of water? Okay. The irony is that then Hashem does reward us for getting Him that glass of water. But not only are we acknowledging and reciprocating Hashem for a prior Tova that He bestows upon us just by having us exist and live, plus a few billion other things, but then He turns around and rewards us for that, which is like this, it's an amazing system. That's the goal. The stepping stone is the mitzvahs. Do this, don't do this. Got to do this by Chatzos. This is how much challah you should take. Don't take more. Don't take less. Sometimes you could take more. Do this. Don't do this. This is Chayav. This is Patur. The whole gamut of rules. The Shulchan Aruch, Mishneh Berurah, the rules. And so that's the stepping stone. Then the Chavis HaLovas then gives us two lists of the superiority of each one over the other one. He's clear that the goal is Ha'orah Sichlis, and the means and the stepping stone is Ha'orah Toronis, but since Ha'orah Toronis is absolutely essential and necessary, and as I always say, history has shown that anybody that tries to take a shortcut around that ends up falling away from Avodas Hashem, from Judaism, ends up falling away. That's Baduka Manuset, very, very clear. He lists the qualities of each one over the other one. So we're at the he listed the qualities of Ha'arasichlis first, and that is, you have to do it sincerely, you can't do it insincerely. You can put on tefillin insincerely, you can have a mezuzah on your door insincerely, but you can't feel gratitude insincerely. You either feel it or you don't feel it. Number two is that you're not going to look to just get away with what you can. You're not just going to do what you can get away with. You're going to get into it with hislahavus. Number three was that primarily oratoronis is chovas ha'evorim and orosichlis is chovas ha'levavos, and he explained in this agdama the basic superiority of chovas ha'levavos over chovas ha'evorim. Number four was where he actually said, listen, ha'oratoronis is the seed, and you want it to grow into a plant, because that's the goal, and the plant is ha'orosichlis. So let's just keep it. Let's just get straight. What's what? So you see, this is the seed, and this is the plant. And agav, he throws in, and it's, you know, then you need shatah d'shmaya to get from one to the other. It's not so simple. Just like there, the farmer could plant and weed and fertilize and do everything, and if it doesn't rain, you got a problem. Here, you need Kadosh Baruch Hu's blessing, and that's what David HaMelech asked for, that it should work. The fifth quality was that 613 mitzvahs is exactly that. 613 mitzvahs is 613. And the Kriyat Shema lasts till 9:16 and a half. And matzah, you got 4 or 5 hours to eat your matzah. If you mark benach hatzos and you wait till seis. Okay. And everything has a slot and a limitation. But ora sichlis is ein mispar. You could be walking in the street, minding your own business, and you could be thinking about Yitzias Mitzrayim on an ordinary day. You could be thinking about Hanukkah. You could be thinking about Purim. There's no limit. There's no limitation. So that's number five. Number six was utterly amazing. We learned it last week. Amazing. He takes something that you, if I told it to you, you'd say, oh, that's its chisaron. And Chaisavolis presents it as a tremendous milah. He says, Havoda Toronis, Ha'ara Toronis, you can do. You have Bechira, so you're going to go do it. But Ara Sichlis is very hard. It's very hard to have that inner feeling, that inner compulsion. And you need Siyata Dishmaya. You need Hashem to help you. Which David HaMelech, and he says, Kuf Yutes, the repetitions in some capital Kuf Yutes and Tehillim are basically all David HaMelech asking Hashem to help him make that leap from Ha'ara Toronis. It's really an elaboration on the rain, Marshall, but he just said it then. That wasn't his point in number five, the rain. Here he's saying it. That's the superiority is that you can't do it on your own. You need Hashem to hold your hand and to help you do it, and that's a milah that you need Hashem, and you're with Hashem, and you don't think you can do it on your own, and you're again turning to Hashem to help you. We're up to number seven. We'll learn it inside. Number seven is interesting. He says, "Ora Toronis." You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna do averus. You're gonna fall. It's not easy, not because it's not easy. That's the nature of the human being. We're flawed, and we'll make mistakes. And he says an amazing thing. Obviously, there's no guarantee and no proof because a person always has bechira. A person always can get lazy. But in general, ora toronis is error prone. I overslept. I don't feel like it. I didn't have kavana. I messed up. He says, Ha'ara Sichlis is really, it's a very interesting thing. He says, Ha'ara Sichlis is such a high madrega that you're like on a different plane, P-L-A-N-E, or on a different plane than everyone. You're there, you reach the madrega, and he uses the word guaranteed that you won't be chote. That's a tough call to make. I'm not uncomfortable no guarantees in this world, ever. But al kaponim, we can understand what he's saying, that there's a quality to Ora Sichlis, is that once you reach it, you're in the heavens, you're not on earth. You're like, you know, you worked on yourself, and you really feel it, because there's so many things that are pulling you against it. We don't see it. What? Good. So we talked about this many times, that the Chavis Halva, first of all, you can certainly achieve it for a few moments before you do a mitzvah. You can certainly achieve, because you say thank you Hashem for, like, you know, look outside. Plenty of people not Frum. Plenty of people are not Mrs. Zabrowski. Right? You are, no, but, so you thank Hashem for that. Hashem gave you a Talmud Chacham, a husband. Hashem gave you, you're living in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem gave you, you're surrounded by your children. Hashem gave you that you go to this wonderful class. Hashem, yeah. So you're thankful. You're thankful. And when you say Bichas HaShachar, you can access the gratitude he wants you to have. You're right. We're not going to walk around the way this person's going to walk around like a Malach Hashem. Just like we're not going to walk around with the bitachon he wants us to have in Shara Bitachon. But you can access it. Before you do a mitzvah, remember the Chavis Halvav, this is Chiddush. I'm doing this as an expression of my acknowledgement and my gratitude to Hashem. That's really all he wants. That's not so hard. Before you take challah, instead of just accessing the Heorah Toronis, I'm chuyiv to take challah, so I'm going to take challah because I'm doing a mitzvah, and L'Shem Yichud, you know, it's wonderful. And I'm listening to Hashem, because I'm a good soldier, and I'll even get some Olam Habo in there, that's great. And I'm being mechanech my children, and that's wonderful. So Chavis Halvav says, Chavis Halvav is holy. Please forgive the expression. You missed the real point. You missed what Hashem really wants. Obviously, these are stepping stones, and they're wonderful. And the Chavis Halvav says, if you do that your whole life, or a Toronis, you're going straight to Gan Eden. Don't worry. He says, both ways are going to get you to Gan Eden. They're going to get you to heaven. Right? We used to have a song, you can't get to heaven, when I was a kid in camp. You can't get to heaven. But you're going to get to heaven no matter which way you go. But he says, you know, this is the way what Hashem wants. This is the real inner Avodas Elokim that Hashem wants. And it's not that, it may be hard to walk around with it a whole day, but I don't think it's that hard. I think it's a chiddush, and that's where we have trouble with it, because we are good Litvisha people, and we were brought up, why am I doing this mitzvah? Because it says so in the Mishnah Berurah, because it says so in the Shulchan. We don't even think of Hashem. Please forgive me. We don't even think of Hashem 90% of the time. We think of the Shulchan Aruch. We think of the Mishnah Berurah, we think of our obligation, and you know, and we think of, you know, I have to do it, I'm Jewish, and that's wonderful, halavai we would do things, right, and not do averus and do mitzvahs, you know, but there is this gap that people don't talk about Hashem, they're embarrassed, they don't want to be called Bali Tshuva, Chas V'Shalom, and they don't want to talk about Hashem. It's going to be hard to get a shidduch if you talk about Hashem too much, you know that, right? Why are they always talking about Hashem? Are they Bali Tshuva? Who's this Hashem? Is he Gimel or Eitz? All right, let's not go there. He's Gimel, of course. It's a big chiddush. I never tire of it. It's a big chiddush. Before I listen to the shofar, I should say, I am doing this because Hashem commanded me to do it, and I'm doing it as an expression of my gratitude and my hakaras hatov and my acknowledgement that everything I have is from Hashem. My ability to be standing here, my ability to do mitzvahs, my ability to hear the shofar. Right, we went through the Shar HaBechina, and like, whoa, what, you know what it means to hear something? And you look at it, there's plenty of people that can't hear. You know, plenty of people can't hear. I'm getting there myself. I'm getting there. Every 2 years I have to make another decision, should I get a hearing aid or not? So I always decide not to, because it's so computerized now, I'm scared. They fiddle around with the computer, adjusting it. It's like scary. I'd rather go around with a chauffeur, you know? I'm afraid to put myself under the control of some central computer. I went for a test. I mean, I'm borderline. They said you can decide to get one, you can decide not to get one. I said, what'd you say? now I'm going to be under my daughter's care. My Beis Yehudis is becoming a speech therapist and a hearing. She's doing like both. So I'm going to put myself under her care, and when she tells me to get one, I'm going to get one. So it's not that hard. It's not that hard to access. When you say Birchas HaShachar, you can access this overwhelming feeling of gratitude, right? And again, it's so dry. The Chavis Lubavitch holds it's very dry to just do something because you're mechuyev to do it. As weird as it sounds, because we're so thrilled when we're able to do what we're mechuyev to do, Chavis Lubavitch is pushing us. He's pushing us. And again, I explained in the Hakdama, this is so much more fulfilling when it's an inner compulsion. It's not someone telling me to do it. I'm like Avraham Avinu, so to speak. We have the safety net of being mechuyev to do it. So if I wake up one morning and I'm not in the mood of davening, I'm not in the mood of thanking Hashem for putting on tefillin, because I'm tired and I got a bus to catch and I don't feel like it. We're about to learn that. That's why Hashem said, I'm sorry, Charles, you're mechuyev to put on tefillin. Like, I don't care if you feel gratitude or not. This is like, it's a safety net that we don't wander away from Hashem. That's what he's going to say. That's going to be one of the seven qualities of Orat Toronis, that it's a safety net, that you can't go afield. But Al-Kuponim, this number seven is an amazing quality. I think number six was amazing. They're all amazing. Number six was, you can't do it without Hashem. And that's a mila. If I would ask 10 people, they would say it's a chisaron. He's saying it's a mila. You need to access Hashem to be successful at reaching this madrega. And then number seven is, he uses the word guarantee, a very strong word. You know, I'm scared to say the word, you know, but he says, you know, once you're there, you need a mapecha to fall, because you're there. If you really feel gratitude to someone because they saved your life, or they saved your child's life, you don't lose that. You know, you have to be like a really strange person or a really strange series of events that you lose that and you don't feel like thanking him anymore. You know, that's Hashvi'i. Ki avod ha'kshimin ha'torah b'levad ein odem batuach pa'atzmo shlo yikoshel bo. You can't be sure you're not gonna... Let me finish the inside, please. Ki koach ha'taydla, you know, Hashem says put on tefillin, I don't want to put on tefillin, I'm lazy. Hashem says take challah, I'm not in the mood. You know, or of law, you always have the Eitz Hara saying, don't do it, whispering in your ear. Umitzapeh ha'itos, and waiting for time, shumasale mimeno, that, you know, you fall off the wagon. You fall off, you know, it's not in the mood. You're diving great every day, and then one morning you have a headache, you didn't get much sleep, and whatever, you know. Avalavodashimiros ha'secho, but ora sichlius, he says, "Batuachu mi kashel bo mechato." Where you're holding, you're not gonna do a vera because you're holding. It's such a natural, organic hergish that I want to serve Hashem. I want to thank Him. You're not gonna lose that. You're alive, and you're holding by understanding that you're alive by the grace of Hashem, and everything you do and feel and breathe and digest, etc., 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 it's all Hashem. So you're not going to lose that. Like, then the Yetzer comes and says, do an Aveira. You say, what are you, out of your mind? Are you crazy? I should be morate against Hashem? He's saying really a deep psychological truth. Ha'ara Toronis, no matter what, someone's telling you to do something. And there's a koach in the Bria that someone's telling you not to do it. The Yetzirah. That's how Hashem created man. And you never know who's going to win. You know, Hashem is not here. Hashem doesn't taste good. Even though it says, Tamu Ruki Tov Hashem, okay. Hashem doesn't... He says, you're in a struggle. You're inherently in a struggle. Because it's not really you. It's do, don't do. I have two sets of instructions. Which am I going to listen to? He says, when you're in Ha'ara Sichlis, there's no struggle. There's no struggle. You know, deep idea. If I feel thankful, there's no room for a struggle, really. Good. So a person always has Bechira. He can mess up. He can forget about it. We read in Hazinu, right? Tzur yulot chateshi, v'tishkal kel mechol alecho, yodar shal konehu, v'chamor evuz bo'olov, Yisrael lo yoda milo hizbonon. You can mess up there also. But you're in a playing field without really an opposing team. If it's inner compelled compulsion for thanks and gratitude and acknowledgement, you're really in a place where there's no misnagdim. So that's what he says. Because you're not there until you get rid of your own desires and you're ready to acknowledge that everything's from Hashem and you want to acknowledge it by doing His will. Again, he uses the word muftaches. Very strong word. These are the seven qualities, milus of aura sichlis over aura toronis. I think the most salient one is number four, where he says as clearly as possible that one's a stepping stone and one's the goal. One's the seed, one's the plant. He's hinting to that in all of them, but he like comes out and says it in the number four of the seven. Okay, now he's going to list seven qualities of Ha'ara Sichlis. Yeah, you wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, well, number six was you need Hashem's help, right? But isn't that true? You can want to do a mitzvah, but you still need Hashem's help to carry it out. You want to go to the holy and your car breaks down, whatever.
It's true. First of all, we're dealing with lavim, and that's one answer, you know. But the real answer is that in the normal course of events, Hashem's not going to mess you up. You have bechira, and you want to do, you know, it'll work, you know. It'll work. It's true. But it's more of a subtlety. You don't feel like you're living with Hashem. You should, maybe, when it comes at least to asays and not lavim. Right, when it comes to doing an assay, as we learned, and we're going to learn it, not as we learned, we're going to learn it later in this shahr, that really Bechira only exists in the mind. If you actually do something in Yitziyata Dishmaya. But you don't, that's already like, much, you don't automatically feel like you're living with Hashem. You know, I'm deciding I'm going to go be Mavake Chola. You know, and then, you know, my car gets there, I don't get into an accident, and I find a parking spot, and the elevator's working, and I make it on time, and I'm a vakechola. So it's much harder to say, wow, thank you, Hashem, unbelievable. It's not automatic, and you're not living it. But if you're in Ha'ura Sichlis, then you're in that place. You're like Omeid Lefnei Hashem. You're always dealing with Hashem. You're not, again, you're not dealing with the Shulchan Aruch. You know, you're dealing with Hashem. So we're going to learn now that you need the Shulchan Aruch because you have to know the rules. Because you can do the most horrible, terrible things and think you're doing a fantastic mitzvah, which we see, and unfortunately. And the famous story in the Gemara... can I go on?
Okay.
The famous story in the Gemara really brings out the point. The Gemara says that someone found a meis mitzvah, which means he found the body. In the street, and there was no one to bury it. So that's called a meis mitzvah. Like it's the greatest mitzvah in the world to bury it. He puts it on, lifts it up, and he walks. He recognizes the person. He takes it to his hometown, and he's going to bury it in the cemetery, you know, in his kever, that's in the cemetery. And like he's doing a chesed, and he's walking, and it's hot. And he's like... So they told him every step you took, you're a ritzayach. The din is a meis mitzvah, you have to be kovar it, him, har, bimakomo. You have to bury it where you find it. You have to bury it immediately where you find it. Talk about a meis mitzvah that there's no one taking care and you find the body in the street. So they told him, I'll call psiyo psiyo, that's like a classic example where his heart was in the right place. He was inspired, let's say, by Ha'ara Sichlis, and he's like, and he's on top of the world, and he's like, really into it. And then he said, you know, you didn't learn the Mishnah Berurah. You know? So you need to know the rules, because there are rules. because Hashem decided to give rules. So he's going to say, okay, let's start. Let's start the seven qualities. Achmailos HaTorah, Tzor Shavor Mehen Mashi Yizdamein Li. And he likes that word, very humble words. For Omar and I will say, Ki Ha'anyonim HaMetzvichim La'oros HaTorah Gam Kin Hem Shiva. By some amazing coincidence, he came up with seven on this list too. Echad Mehem. Number one, he's going to say, you're going to go overboard. If you're not mukbal by rules, you're going to end up like, fasting every day and smoking pot and like communing with Hashem and singing Kumbaya. And you're like, you're with Hashem, man. Oh, I love you, Hashem. I love you. We see them sometimes in the street. He says, because people, that's the nature of people. They go overboard. They don't know when to stop. They'll either do too little, or they'll do too much. So you need the Torah to give us rules. This is what Hashem doesn't want you to fast every day. Hashem doesn't want you to, I am telling you how to express your gratitude. You keep Shabbos for 25 hours. You want to keep it for 26, fine. But a person says, I'm going to keep Shabbos. I said, no, how long do you have to keep Shabbos if you want to keep Shabbos for every moment that it's Shabbos sometime in the world?
I have no idea.
48 hours.
Okay.
It's Shabbos somewhere in the world for 48 hours. Well, if you want to be technical, 47 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds. Right? So I say, I'm going to keep Shabbos for 48 hours. Okay, the crackpot. So that's why, that's number one. You know, it's Shabbos somewhere in the world for 48 hours. That's a beautiful idea. It's not an easy translation. Inspiration. It moves me. Ha'ara means I'm moved by what I hear. It's ma'orer me. That really is the best. Torah inspiration and seichel inspiration. They're both inspiration, as I say, because the Chatzal Dovah doesn't want to give up on the idea that it's still saying thank you to Hashem. But Ha'ara Toronis is when the kid gets a present, the parents say thank you. That's, say thank you or I'll punish you. Say thank you and I'll give you a prize. That's Ha'ara Toronis. So it's still called Ha'ara because it creates inspiration, or it's supposed to create inspiration. But it's rule oriented and it's Harvonish oriented. And it's doesn't necessarily come from the heart, etc. All the things we learned here. Number one is Adam Mechuber Minefesh VeGuf. Right, you're always in that struggle between the nefesh and the guf. Uvmidosov Mashi Yiviul is Maker Lahanos, and he always wants to get involved in pleasurable things. Ulishkoa B'Tayvus Habemios Lunate Kesher Hasechol Meyolov V'Yesh Bo Midos. So that on one hand, the person really is made up of two extremes. On one hand, he wants to be like an animal. He wants to enjoy himself. He wants to have pleasure. He wants to do pleasurable things. On the other hand, he wants to commit suicide and be a malach. Right? That's his yetzer tov. No, he really does. Like, if the nefesh left on its own hates this world, we have that in other chapters in the Chavis Halvavis, and can't wait to get back to Shemayim, which is kulo spiritual, and it doesn't have to be saddled with this horrible, terrible guf. And these are an ascetic, right? He wants to fast every day. He wants to be mesagef his guf. He doesn't want to have any pleasure whatsoever. And he wants to fast and sit in the sand and, in the lotus position and just, contemplate the universe while humming, You see, I did all this stuff, that's how I know. I learned in Lakewood, that's where I learned all this. Ulaniach Yeshuvo, you want to run away from people. You can't stand it when people talk to you and like with their silly narish azachin. Mitnei hishapchus in yonav bo, v'hasmodas hapagom, v'yagonos alav. And then the world is, a place of troubles and headaches and difficulties. The lintels of Olam HaSeichel HaElyon. So he has this struggle. And they're really two extremes. There's no happy medium in the struggle. The behemoth part of him wants to be like an animal and enjoy life, eat, drink, and be merry. And the nefesh part of him wants to be like a malach. So there's a struggle between two extremes. Ushtei ha'etzos einan mishubachos. And both these extremes are wrong, are terrible. Neisha'achas mevi'a la'afsoda seydera olam. The second one, which you would think is, oh, so wonderful and so beautiful and so inspiring, is ruining the world that Hashem created. You want to, you know, stop the world, I want to get off. I don't want to have any, but Hashem made this world. So, you know, that's, it can't be good. This is one of the primary conceptual differences between Judaism and Christianity. I mean, it's not, I want to say them both in the same sentence, really, because one's emes and one's sheker. But if you want to talk about just conceptually, right, they have an idea that the goal is to be in a monastery and to be poorish from the olam, you know, and we don't have such an ideal. So that's what he says. Number one is maybe lahafsada seder olam. Vashniya mevil lahafsada sinyoni ha'odam ba'olam ha'seh uv'olam ha'bah. Right, and the tia to gashmius messes you up in this world because you never satisfy your desires, and of course in olam ha'bah. U'mechemes ha'bori yisale, but because Hashem is so great and loves us, the otzim tovosu ala odam shechonenu, he gave us something that says, okay, 6 days you're going to work, and one day you're going to have Shabbos. And you're going to eat food, and it's going to have to be kosher. And you're going to be married, and be with a husband, or with a wife, but there's times that it's usur, and this is, and these are people that you can't marry. You're going to watch out for yourself, but you have to do chesed with other people. The Torah is, and I told you, the Zuchabi Chabovus' outlook on Torah is that the whole Torah is an exercise in self-control. It's striking the balance between these two extremes. So if we just left you up to Yehora Sichlis, we don't know what's going to happen. You're either going to go overboard and carry that mace mitzvah for 4 miles, thinking you're like the greatest, unbelievable, mace nefesh person in the world, and you're really doing ritzicha every moment, you're doing a terrible aveira. Or anytime people do mitzvahs which are beyond, which are aveiras. And or you want to have a good time, you know, so like an animal. So the Torah says, you know, you want to eat, you can eat. But you want to eat chocolate cake? Okay, there's always Shabbos. You want to eat steak? Fine. Bring a korban, toda. Everything is doled out in an exact measure to strike a balance between these two extremes. Ora Sichlis itself might not do that. It's prone to extremes. One morning I wake up and I spend 24 hours saying Sefer Tillim, and the next morning I wake up and I pig out and I just eat and sleep a whole day. That's a person. Torah says you can't do either one. I don't want you to do either one. That's number one. The balance of extremes. The Torah, that's the Torah, that's the rules in the Torah. Sheishes Yom Tavo, Lishis Kom Lachtecha. Yom Ha'ishvi, Shabbos Hashem Elokecha. Person wants to keep Shabbos a whole week. Oh man, I want to be made that Hashem created the world. I want to do that every single day. I don't want to wait for Shabbos. That's terrible. You know, Sheishes Yom Tavo, work for 6 days. The Torah and Mona Shemeres HaTzedek Begoli Benistar. Shemirachekas Odomi Ta'avosov. Because it doles it out in specific amounts. This is elaborated upon in Shar HaPrishus. I told you this many times. Chavos view of Torah is that it's an exercise in self-control. You do a little, but you control yourself. Thus, making one unit out of these two extremes. Bolam Azeh v'shemeres lo gmulu b'achriso. K'ma shomar ha'kosov ha'doznuchu u'shma adirei chachomim. Okay, a pasuk in probably Mishlei. That's number one. Number one is it keeps you away from the extremes, and it's, you know, because when you get all excited and you go out of this class and you say, okay, Hashem, I'm yours, you end up doing averus. You're going to end up terrible. You're going to end up ignoring your spouse, ignoring your children. They're going to be like an albatross around your neck, and you just want to commune with Hashem and thank Him, and you end up really, but say, yeah, that's number one. Saving you from extremes. The Hasheni,
you know, there are things you do that are not so logical.
He said, you know, I could see, says the Chavis HaBavis, a person with her Ara Sichlis deciding, I'm not going to daven, I'm going to change Hashem's mind. Chutzpah. But again, if you're free-floating, and we leave it up to your Seichel, you might end up with this very deep philosophical idea that it's pointless to daven, right? Pointless to daven. I'm not going to change Hashem's mind. And even if I could change Hashem's mind, who the heck do I think I am to change Hashem's mind? Hashem certainly wants what's best for me. Tzom, Stoka. I should get stuck. Hashem wanted him to be poor. Of course, you're only saying that because you're rich and he's poor. If the situation would be reversed, you would think of a different svara. But meanwhile, you're saying, who am I to give tzedaka? Hashem wants the person to be poor. Ma'aseh gemilas chasodim. You don't know, people, and we see this in history, people come up with this, like once you're like, you know, and you can end up with a philosophy of hedonism. You can end up with a philosophy, that's what Hashem wants from me, and who knows what. The seichel, you know, will readjust for everything. He's saying there's some things that the Seichel doesn't bring you to. I mean, it brought Avram Avinu there. Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. But, you know, we're not going to be like Avram Avinu. So I'm going to decide very rationally that it's pointless to daven. I'm going to decide very rationally that I shouldn't give tzedakah. I'm going to decide very rationally that I should never fast. I should never do chesed. That's a rational... So he says, V'enodom magia bo liyadiyas gvulei ha'onchen. He's not going to think about any onesh, because to him it's going to be so logical and compelling, because he's working just pure with a seichel. So you need the Torah to say, again, sorry, this, you have to do this. I don't care if it makes sense to you. I don't care if it doesn't make sense to you. You have to do this. You have to give tzedakah. You have to daven. After you understand that you have to daven, you take out a pile of svarim this high, and you start studying about tefillah. Why is there tefillah? What am I doing? Changing Hashem's mind? How is that possible? Do I have a right to try it? But that's after you've accepted the ha'ora toronis, that I must daven. You're not sitting there deciding if you're going to daven or not, because to you it's not logical, because you're in ha'ora sichlis mode. So you're going to daven, you're like, Hashem, I love you. So that's what he says. All right, number one is it keeps you from extremes. Number two is there are things in the Torah which are not that logical, and if it was left for Yahara Sichlis, you may come up with a cheshbin why you should not daven, why you should not give tzedakah. It doesn't take much. You're all wondering how that could be, because Baruch Hashem, we all function under Ha'ara Toronis. So we have that's what he's talking about. We have the benefits of maybe we don't understand why we give tzedakah, but we know Hashem obligated us to give tzedakah. So we're gonna do it. We're obligated to do it. We're obligated to fast. We're obligated to daven. We're obligated. Then you wanna move on and understand it. But before you understand it, you're gonna do it. So that when, you know, everything comes together, and you're gonna do it. You're gonna live a proper lifestyle. Number three is there's
always a basic unfairness in the world. Some people are more intelligent, some people are less intelligent. Nobody in this room, of course, but Some people with a more philosophical nature are able to understand things deeply. Some people with not such a philosophical nature. The Avodas Hashem of each person would be different. And Hashem wants us... So it's the great equalizer. That's number three. Everybody's putting on tefillin in the morning. If he wants to manifest differences between him and a guy on the street, so he'll study about tefillin and he'll learn about tefillin and he'll be inspired about tefillin and he'll do his arosichlus about tefillin. But the guy next to him on the same bench is also putting on tefillin. So it's an equalizer in Yiddishkeit. It makes people, puts people in the same boat. He has to also fast on Yom Kippur. He's no big knocker and he doesn't have to fast. He has to fast also. He has to hear the shofar also. Everybody's, it's an equalizer. It's like communism, I think. Makes everybody the same. No one can go, like, feel superior to me. While if we left it to your ability to relate to Hashem, some people are gonna always be superior to others, right? Inherently. So that's Hashlishi, that's number three. That the quality of the Aras Sichlis is that it's a great equalizer. I'm sorry, the Taranis is that it's the great equalizer. Okay. Aras Sichlis, Eino Kolelos Kolam Mitzuvim. Doesn't, like, include everybody in the same boat. Nekotzer Machshev, some people are less, have less intellect, less ability to think deep. The Yisroon Hakoras Ketzasam El Ketzasam Va'ara Toroi Toria Kolelas Kol Mishiugil Etznai Atzivui Al Derech Shava. You don't have to understand tefillin. You're 13, Mister, putting on tefillin. You're 12. You take a challah. That's it. You're old enough to understand to obey a command. That's what you're doing. And that everybody's taking challah. Everybody's wearing tefillin. Everybody's davening. Everybody's going to shul on Yom Kippur. Everybody is, like, very inspiring. Everybody. And then you will find your individuality in what you then work out, right? In what you then study and understand and deep. That's where, say, people are. Jews, robotic, Torah, mitzvahs. Everybody has to do the mitzvahs. It's a robotic system. The answer is it's a robotic system as an equalizer, as Lavovus is saying. Afterwards, I don't want you to stay in this place. I don't want you to stay and take challah because you're mechuyev to take challah. I don't want you to stay. I want you to understand challah. I want you to study about challah. I want you to learn about how inspiring it is, what this symbolizes, what that symbolizes, what you're doing when you're taking challah, what the general message is, what you're reminding yourself of. Right? That's, and there everybody will be different because they'll be different than the Chavis Halavavos. But everybody's taking challah. What's the Chavis Halavavos? So that's what he says. Number three is that it's undemocratic. Aras Sichlis is undemocratic because people's Seichel is undemocratic and people's understanding is undemocratic and people's philosophical leanings are undemocratic. So you don't really have a nation under Hashem working together. Like this, I know. Everybody's putting on tefillin in the morning. Yeah?
Does he think less of Emunah Pshuta
people who
have
Well, we said, first of all, one thing has nothing to do with Emunah Pshuta versus Chakira is not this issue of Aratonis versus Arasichlis. That's in the mitzvah of Emunah. How do you have your Emunah? Your Emunah only through pure belief, we'll call that Emunah Pshuta, or do you think you can make a good argument for it? Chaim Salvavus says throughout the Sefer, it's not enough to have Emunah Pshuta, what we call Emunah Pshuta, which is not so partial. He wants you to work things out in your mind, he wants you to do if you can't work it out with the philosophy of Shar HaYichud, work it out with the pragmatism of Shar HaBechina. Like, whoa, Hashem, how can there not be a Borei Olam? Look what's going on in the world. Then there's this Ha'ara Taranis versus Ha'ara Sichlis, which he said already. Ha'ara Sichlis is the goal. Ha'ara Taranis is the stepping stone. Okay, I have to stop here.